Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. I am Rebecca Balazan, and today we are learning Shoftim Perek Yotet. The Perek begins, Vayahi Bayamim Haheim Umelech Ein BiYisrael. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And again, we begin with this concept that Bnei Israel did not have a king. They did not have someone who could have guided and reprimanded the people. And so therefore, unfortunately, we have the following story. There was a Levite man who lived in Yarkasei Har Ephraim, and he took for himself a Pilegesh from Beit Lechem Yehuda. A Pilegesh is a woman who was designated as a wife without Kiddushin and Aksuba, without a marriage contract, basically a relationship without a contract or permanence. And therefore, if they decide to end the relationship, there is no need for a get. Perhaps this relationship was set up because her father could not provide for her financially. Pasuk bet, Vatizne alav pilagsho, and his concubine turned away from him and went back to her father's house, and was there for 4 months. Now, while znus often means improper relationships, many mefarshim here comment that it means that she turned away and left him. As being a pilegesh, she was not tied down to him, and she could have left the relationship to go to another man. According to the Gemara in Gittin, he was harsh and he exhibited anger towards her. According to one view, a fly was found in a dish that she prepared, and so she left. Rav Chisda said one should never instill excessive anger in his home, for the husband instilled excessive fear upon the Pilegesh and Giva, and it led to the death of tens of thousands of Jews. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, anyone who instills excessive fear in his home will ultimately come to 3 transgressions: immorality, bloodshed, and desecration of Shabbos, Giloy Arayos, Shvichos Damim, and Chilul Shabbos. Pasuk Gimel, and the husband got up and he went after her to speak to her heart and to persuade her to return. And his servant was with him and a team of donkeys. And she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the girl saw him, he was very happy to greet him. And the father-in-law, the girl's father, kept him, and he stayed there for 3 days. Perhaps the father-in-law was happy because the fact that the husband came after her shows that she did not commit adultery. Or perhaps the father was happy because he did not want his daughter to be alone. According to the Ralbag, this Levite was very important, and so he was happy to see him and tried to honor him in his visit. And it was on the 4th day, Pasukei, and they got up early in the morning, and he got up to go, and the girl's father said to his son-in-law, refresh yourself with some bread, and afterwards you leave. So they sat down, the both of them ate together, and the girl's father said to the man, stay, accept now, lodge, and let your heart be content. So the man rose up to depart, but the father-in-law urged him, and he returned, and he lodged there. Perhaps the father-in-law tried to keep him there to help solidify the relationship. In any event, the text is clearly highlighting the level of Hachmasas Orchim that this man had. And he rose early on the 5th day, Pasuk Chet, to leave, and the girl's father said, refresh yourself now. And they tarried until the day declined, and they both ate. And again, Pasuk Tet, the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, and his father-in-law, the girl's father, said to him, the day has weakened to set, meaning it's the end of the day. It's past the resting part of the day. Stay here and your heart will be content, and you'll get up in the morning early and you'll go to your dwelling place. It's ironic that as we see what follows, it seems that the father's deep love and care for his daughter and his son-in-law actually puts them in danger. But after a couple of days, the man doesn't want to stay there anymore, so Pasuk Yud continues, he arose and he departed, and he went in the direction of Yavus, which is Yerushalayim, and with him was his saddles, donkeys, and his Pilegesh was with him as well. And they were near Yavus as the sun was going down, and the servant said to the master, come, let's turn into the city of Yavus and let's stay there. You know, we can't travel when it's getting dark. And the master said to him, we will not turn into the city of heathens, non-Jews, nor to any other city, not of the children of Israel, but we will travel to Giva. Meaning he doesn't want to stay in a non-Jewish city. He wants the safety and security of a Jewish city, which we will see is extremely ironic as the story continues. And he says to his servant, come, let's get close to one of the cities. We'll either go to Giva or to Ramah. And they passed on, and they went, and the sun set upon them, and they were near Giva, which belonged to Binyamin. And so they turn aside there to come and to lodge in Giv'a. And he came and he sat in the thoroughfare, the town square, the marketplace, a place where a lot of people would pass through of the city. But no one invited them in. No one brought them home to stay in their houses. And behold, an old man came from his work out of the field at evening. And the man was from Ephraim, meaning he was not a local, but he happened to have resided at that point in Giv'a. And so the people of Giv'a, they had closed their doors on this people, and they are contrasted with this old man who just came from the field after a long day of work, of hard work, and yet he offers them hospitality. And so the man, he raises his eyes and he saw these people in the thoroughfare of the city, and the old man said, "Where are you going and from where do you come from?" And the Levite, he answers, he says, "We are passing from Beit Lechem Yehuda to the edge of the mountain of Ephraim. I'm from there, and I went to Beit Lechem Yehuda, and now I'm going to Beit Hashem. I'm going to go to the Mishkan in Shiloh, and no one has taken me, and I'm sitting here in the square." And he continues, "There's straw, and there's food for our donkeys, and there's bread and wine for myself, and for your maidservant, and for the lad who is with your servants. There is no want of anything," meaning the man is saying, "We don't need anything from anyone. We have everything we need. We simply need a place to rest our heads. We can provide everything for ourselves." And the old man said to him, "Peace be to you. Just, you know, let all your needs be upon me, but do not lodge in the streets." Meaning, whatever you do, you cannot stay in the street overnight. So he brought him into his house, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, and he gave food to the donkeys, and they washed their feet, and they ate and they drank. And as they were enjoying themselves, behold, the men of the city, men of wickedness, they surrounded the house and they were beating on the door. And they spoke to the man, the elderly master of the house, saying, "Bring out the man that came to your house so that we may be intimate with him." Now, according to Rashi, this is referring to homosexuality. And the Das Sofrim adds that among the nations, the other nations, such an act was not even considered sinful. And B'nai Yisrael were extremely influenced at this time by those nations. Again, the nations which we had failed to send out. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, and the man, the master of the house, said to them, "No, my brothers, do not do wickedly now. Since this man has come into my house, do not commit this disgraceful act." He's saying, "You can't do this. He is my guest. Stay away." But he has an alternative suggestion, and that is Pasuk Chaf Dalet. "Here is my virgin daughter and his concubine. I will bring them out now and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do this disgraceful act." And as you read the story, you're probably reminded of the story of Lot and Sodom and how the people of Sodom came to Lot and asked him to send out his guests in a similar way. And many of the Mefarshim highlight the similarities. In fact, if you would compare the two stories, you would find that there are many linguistic parallels. The same words and the same concepts are repeated in both stories. And it's really unfortunate to see how B'nai Yisrael failed to drive out the Canaanite nations, and eventually they are influenced by them and become like them. And unfortunately, this tragic story unfolds. The Malbim says that while the story of Pelegish B'Giv'a and Sodom are similar, there is a fundamental difference between the Rasha, the wicked, and the Chote, the sinner. The people of Sodom, the sin was in their intellect, and they enacted laws so that everyone would live by them. And they made them righteous. They made it justice to act in this way. Guests should not pass through their land. Their philosophy was corrupt. This was not the case with the people of Giv'a. There was no thought behind this. It was simply desire. The fact that they didn't invite the guests in was because they were stingy. And the fact that they wanted to have relations with this man was because of their desire. In fact, the Malvin proves this from the story. He says, number one, Lot brought in the Malachim in secret. The old man brought the guests in public. Second, in the story of Sodom, everyone surrounded the house from young to old because what Lot did was against the town rules. But here, it is the Anshei Belial. It's the riffraff. It's the people who had this desire, but clearly not everybody. Number three, in the case of Sodom, they wanted to fight Lot for violating their laws. Here, they did not want to fight the host, nor did they want his daughter because they didn't want to do any harm to him. Also, Lot closed the door because he was afraid of the people of Sodom. Number four, here he told them it would be a disgusting deed. So they were able to recognize this as something disgusting. Chafhei, but the men did not want to listen to him. And so therefore the Levite man, he grabbed his concubine and he brought her out to them, meaning he forced his Pelegesh out in order to save himself. And they were intimate with her and they abused her the entire night until morning. And they sent her away when the day began to dawn. And the woman came as the morning began and she collapsed on the entrance of the man's house where her master was until it was light. And if you note in the Pasuk at this point, They do not refer to him as her husband, but rather as her master, because he clearly did not act as a husband should act. Pasuk Chav Zayin, and her master arose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go on his way. So painful to read, because it seems like he had a good night's sleep. He didn't think twice about this. Imagine if somebody that you loved, you sent them out to a dangerous situation. Wouldn't you be looking out the window? Wouldn't you be up all night worried? But here the pasuk tells us he got up in the morning and he was ready to go on his merry way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was lying after having fallen at the entrance of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, "Arise and let's go." But no one answered, because according to Rashi, she was already dead. And he took her upon the donkey, and the man rose up and went to his place. Meaning he picked her up, he put her on his donkey, and he decided to go home. And he came to his house, and he took the knife, and he took hold of his concubine, and he cut her into limbs. He cut her into 12 pieces, and he sent her throughout all the borders of Israel. And it was that anyone who saw it would say, "Nothing like this has happened, nor has such a thing been seen from the day B'nai Israel came up from Mitzrayim to this day. So now concern yourself about it. Take counsel and speak. According to the Mitzudah, the woman's body was sent to the Shvatim with the exception of Binyamin, as they were the ones who perpetrated the evil. And it's interesting that this man, who seems as though he is looking for justice, he doesn't even engage the Shevet. He doesn't even look to the tribe where this injustice had occurred. Now, according to the Malbim, by sending the pieces of this woman's body to the Shvatim, he's sending a message to B'nai Israel. He's saying, B'nai Israel are like a body. Just like a body cannot live if it's cut up into pieces, similarly, B'nai Israel cannot exist without unity. The body must work together to allow that person to live. And at times, a body part may be ill, or it may be sick. And this will cause harm to the whole body. And therefore, they must work to heal it. But if it cannot be healed, it must be removed. Likewise, if a part of B'nai Israel deteriorates, they must work to help return that part, meaning help that part do tshuva. But if not, if they cannot get that part of B'nai Israel to do tshuva, then it must be removed. Thank you for learning together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.